This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial, 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to stay up to date with everything happening here at the station, download the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can also listen on demand. George Ruggiero producing the program. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good day to you.
My company, as he is each and every Wednesday on the program, is, of course, the MC of Fun and Games here in the Memphis and greater metro area. Host of Writer Than Right Trivia tomorrow, Thursdays, on the Jeff Calkins Show, 10:30 a.m., tickets to see James Taylor at Bank Plus Amphitheater will be our big prize tomorrow. Win them before you can buy them. His website, CerritoEntertainment.com. He's on Twitter, on X, at JWright, or beg your pardon, at Cerrito. Let's have it there. Kevin, good day, sir.
Yeah, great to be here. Yep. The fun and games in the greater metro area for sure. We're down at Tupelo now. If you know anybody down in Tupelo, Friday nights, music bingo. Down there in Mississippi. We're getting further and further out and about here in Mississippi. Memphis, maybe that's the way you should.
We're expanding.
Say. Yeah.
Expanding. The Mid-South.
Yeah, the Mid-South. Memphis, Mississippi, and beyond here. But the Arkansas game is wrapping up. Jeffrey, what's going on with old John Calipari?
So Arkansas was up 20. And
they were up 20? I knew it was a lot.
Spirit of full disclosure, your boy's got a money line parlay. Right. And so I just need Arkansas to win the game. So John and I were talking about this off the air. John hit Arkansas when it was Arkansas minus a point and a half. Well, the line got all the way out to five, and I was just really, really worried that, okay, that's a massive jump. And I didn't know really how to take John Calipari's comments that, you know, we don't really care about this tournament. We care about the tournament next week. Well, they came out and they have dominated the game, but they have not scored any points in the last 7 minutes and 15 seconds. And I believe they haven't scored a field goal in the last 13 plus minutes up until now, where they got a putback. But now I believe officials are going to say potentially a goaltend. So Arkansas is up 61-60 and it is going to review. So we'll have 5 minutes before they determine whether or not that was indeed a goaltend. So Arkansas up 61-60 over South Carolina. The big question will be, and this is where we're going to start the program today, how much does this week matter, Kevin? And we're going to start with buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit, because it's obviously going to matter, or maybe not, to the University of Memphis. Here's what we do know about this week for the University of Memphis. If you're just saying, does it matter for them getting into the tournament? It absolutely does not. They can lose tomorrow, or they can lose on Friday, They will still be in the field. They'll still not be in Dayton. They will be on the bracket. So I kind of want to get into a few things because there's a few narratives out there that I'm not sure whether or not they are true, and I want to discuss that. Also, it is, of course, Tony Allen week. He will have his jersey retired on Saturday night against the Heat. So I want to discuss a little TA as well. Maybe reveal a little inside information I got about one of the most famous Tony Allen stories. Then we want to get into our TV timeout. Yep, just a little tease there. Get into our TV timeout. Second night of the Grizzlies on WMC statewide. Is it Gray Media? I believe that's the parent company. Their family of stations throughout the state. So I want to discuss the impact of that because I actually saw a little bit of feedback that I at least find interesting, and I'm also curious whether or not this is a test for how the Grizzlies are going to view their future TV deals. Also, we had Shaq doing Shaq things last night, inside the NBA things last night, not knowing who the coach of typical teams were. Also, Stephen A. Smith got his new deal. How does this impact the future? We'll talk about a few of those things during the TV timeout. We'll get into the list. Got a few want to get everybody's opinions on. Rory McIlroy took a phone from a heckler today. We've got Rich Rod saying banning TikTok dances from his West Virginia players. Kirby Smart has talked about the state of the game, so I want to kind of go through a few of those things. Then CJ Hurt's going to join the program like he does each and every Wednesday. We'll talk some Grizz with him, and then we'll tell your story, and we'll get out of here. And now, officially, Arkansas has hit a field goal. They hit a three. They lead 64-60. But without further ado, let's do some buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. All right, Kevin. Let's start here.
Let's start.
Buy, sell, short, or go to Reddit. The Memphis Tigers will get screwed with their seating on Selection Sunday.
Oh, that's a... You know, I think that's... that. If we know what's happening and we know that's what it's going to be, yeah, I still think you can be... You'd still be screwed, right? No matter what. Because we know what it should be, right? That's how we're defining
so
it.
So I think...
We feel like the Tigers have deserved the chance to be... 6 or 7, but we're probably looking at 8, 9, even 10, depending on what here happens in the conference.
Yeah, I think we have to set the baseline of what will we say constitutes a screw job. And the reason why Memphis is a complicated case is their win-loss record and their quality wins outweigh their predictive metrics. So if you just go by the bracket matrix, they're talking about an 8 seed. And I think that's where I would set the baseline. I would say this. If they get 8 or worse, so 8, 9, 10, I would be surprised to see them anything higher than that. But if they get 8, 9, 10, I think that constitutes a screw job. So we'll set that as the standard. So if you're thinking about where you're going to be on Selection Sunday, do you buy that you're going to see the Tigers as an 8 or higher?
You know, that's tough to see because I'm curious on what's going to happen here in the conference tournament. If that is going to – can it hurt the Tigers? Can it? Like, we've got the game right now happening live, right, with that Arkansas in the SEC tournament. And I felt like if you're in the SEC, you could lose round one, no problem. It's not going to impact you. SEC now, I think, right, it is considered – the best conference in college basketball at the moment.
So, yes, it is. It's hands down considered the best.
But what's going to happen to Arkansas if they lose this game? Nothing for you? Like, Arkansas up only 3 at this exact moment, 64-61. But, like, if they lost...
So, it's interesting because right before the broadcast started, they had the pregame show, and they went to Joey Brackets. And Joey Brackets, Lenardi, for those that
they call him by his actual name.
He made the statement, if they win this game, they're in.
Okay.
Now, this is where I start to push back a little bit because I'm just not convinced. I think something was true once upon a time. I think once upon a time, you could really make up ground and you could really damage yourself based on your play in the SEC, in your conference tournament, your respective conference tournament.
Once upon a time.
However, One thing that, and this is going to be a part of Mark Giannato's story that's going to come out later, I believe this weekend, right before Selection Sunday. It's going to be on USA Today. It's a big feature story about the whole selection process, the people that have come up with the metrics, a wide-ranging look at this selection process. And one of the anecdotes that he's going to get is from Lenardi, in which Lenardi explains one of the lasting impacts of quote-unquote bracketology is not necessarily the impact on the selection process in particular, but what he believes it is by bringing bracketology into the public space. And he doesn't say it's just him. Like he cites a few other people, I think Jerry Palm, others, that really popularized it. What it has done is forced the NCAA to be more transparent about how they actually select teams. And more importantly, it's also caused them to listen to criticism, react, come up with new formulas. We abandoned the RPI for the net. This year we've added WOB, wins above bubble. It's required them to explain why they've selected teams, but I think also internally on the committee, it's required them to adjust. And I think one of the key adjustments was, and this was a common complaint, why do we play 36 plus game seasons if we're just going to define tournament selection process by what you do during a few days? I think that was a legitimate criticism, and I think that they've actually responded by doing so. And so I don't necessarily believe if Arkansas were to lose this game and there's 37 and a half seconds left, Arkansas has the ball, they're up two. But let's say they miss, South Carolina comes back down, hits a three, wins the game. I think what we have seen from years past is that it hasn't necessarily hurt teams. I'll cite Virginia last year. Virginia last year has a lead on NC State, and they're up three. They elect not to foul. Game goes to overtime. They lose in overtime early in the ACC tournament. Everybody thinks they're done. Well, Virginia was one of the teams that we saw in Dayton, and everybody's going, why is this team in the tournament field? And they left no doubt when they played in Dayton, playing one of the worst games we've ever seen. And we found out, like, well, they just didn't put that much stock into it. Also, NC State, maybe it helped that they went on to win the whole ACC tournament. But also, NC State was on the opposite end of that. And what would have been the real interesting question is, what would have happened to NC State had they not won the ACC tournament? Because they were on the outside looking in. On the flip side, St. John's last year ends up winning six straight games to close the season before finally falling in the semifinal in a super competitive game against UConn. Most people believed, oh, they did enough there, that's going to put them in the field. It was not true. Same thing that we've seen in years past with like a Colorado, in which they wound up having to basically win their tournament to get in. We don't know what it would have been. But my larger point is, we've seen more examples where people believe that these are the types of games that are going to define the status of a team more so than what they've done during the season. Now, to your point, though, where...
because it's always different for the Tigers, though.
Well, this is where it becomes complicated for Memphis. Because... to your point right here, let's see. Where is South Carolina in the net? South Carolina currently in the net is at 88. So on a neutral floor, I think this is quad two. Quad breakdown.
Right now, Arkansas up 68-64.
At the line with two more. Okay, so yes, this would be a quad three loss, technically, for Arkansas. So it would be under the bad loss. And so maybe that's Joey Brackett's point, that, hey, as long as they avoid the bad loss, there's no other bad loss remaining, because if Arkansas wins this game, they'll play Ole Miss. That will be a quad one game.
Fine,
so
yeah.
It doesn't matter if you lose that game, and now Arkansas hits another free throw to go up 6 points with 17 seconds remaining. But where it becomes the interesting issue for Memphis is Memphis finds itself in this spot where there's nothing but bad losses on the horizon. So if they lose Friday, they're either going to lose to South Florida or Wichita State, and that would be another quad three loss. And so now one of the biggest black eyes of Memphis's resume is the fact that compared to the teams around them, they have more bad losses than everyone else. And so that would be another one. And you question whether or not that would matter. And so here's the reason why I'm going to short this. I'm shorting this, George. Here's why. I think everybody's focused way too much on the net. And here's where I think it's actually going to... Here's the metric that I think is getting overlooked. And it's entirely possible we'll come back on Monday and I'll say, hand up, I was wrong. I believe that too many people right now are seeding it based on the net, which is what largely it's been the metric that's been used in the past. But there's the new metric, WOB, wins above bubble. And that is a more, that statistic looks more at your resume, what this team has done. And if you sort the Tigers based on that, they're 24th in the net. And that, to me, I know the rankings say the Tigers are 16th and 17th. I think that's more actually a little bit, in terms of like my eye test belief, I think that's more of a hat tip to what they've done, and they deserve that. But I don't necessarily believe in my heart of hearts that's a top 16 team. But I do believe it's a top 25 team. And so if you talk about 24th, well, that's a number, like, you can make an argument whether or not you think they're closer to 20 than 24, but I think what we can all agree on, we're in kind of the same range. And it's my suspicion that that metric is going to get used more, primarily because even the people that have come up with the predictive metrics have said, they've told the committee, listen, we believe in our metrics and our numbers, but you should not be seeding the thing. You should not be selecting the team based on this. They're too flawed of a metric. Furthermore, there's also a sample size question. Like, if they were playing 100 games, it'd be a little different, but they're playing 35 games. So there's questions of whether or not the sample size is big enough. I believe when we get to Selection Sunday, Tiger fans are going to be pleasantly surprised. I think if they get to Sunday, I think the most they can fall is a seed line. I think if they get to Sunday, Sunday's going to be absolutely meaningless because the bracket's already going to be made. They're going to have to release it in 90 minutes. They get to Sunday, I think they're a 6, and I think if they lose before Sunday, they're a 7. And I think most people would have, you know, it's like the type of deal that you make where they got a little, you got a little, you know, should I have waited a little longer and got a little bit better price? But overall, like, you got a deal and everybody feels like, all right, good enough.
All right. Well, I mean, we're looking, like, so we know Selection Sunday is just a few days away, right? Conference tournament's underway. We're talking about this while we're watching Arkansas try to hang on. Because I'm also fascinated, right? As a Memphian, most Memphians are still somewhat intrigued on what John Calipari is doing, especially now that he's at Regional University of Arkansas here. And the, what's the score right now? They're up,
like, they're up 4, and they're, I believe four. They just got fouled.
So it looks like Calipari is going to sneak away with the win here, and therefore the prediction is that if they lost this, they could possibly miss the tournament, is what we were saying. They could possibly miss the tournament. But when, now they're in great position because they're going to play Ole Miss. So that's great news for the Tigers. But, all right.
Here's the other thing I'd say, that kind of talking out of both sides of my mouth.
Yeah, go ahead. I want to see Arkansas. I'm always like, it's tournament week, so I'm looking at all the brackets. Like, I want Arkansas to be in the tournament because I want there to be a chance that Memphis lines up with Arkansas somewhere.
I mean, there's,
you know, just somewhere.
If you tell me that there's a bracket where this is a 7-10 matchup, I'm not shocked.
Oh, my goodness. We could get that. We could get that. Right, because, I mean, Memphis deservingly a 7 and Arkansas at the 10, right? Or there's just no way.
So Arkansas just threw the ball away with 3.2 seconds leading of a timeout. They just throw the ball away. Cal is asking his guy, like, what are you doing? I think he was trying to just throw it up the floor to burn some clock. It led to a South Carolina wide open layup, and now they're up 2 with 3.2. So they got to get the ball in, and then they're going to have to hit at least one free throw, and then we'll find out whether or not Cal will foul up three. Not to bring up those memories.
Right, exactly. But as we're but back to Memphis. So we're back and forth from Memphis to Arkansas here as we're watching the end of this opening round SEC tournament game with the Cal's.
The real NCAA tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
As it's being billed.
Is that who's saying that? Who's saying that?
It's been a. It's kind of an SEC propaganda thing. It's also. it's going to be harder to win the NCAA, or it's going to be harder to win the SEC tournament than is the NCAA.
Well, that's bonkers, yeah.
Well, here's one thing we definitely know. If you lose in the NCAA tournament game, there's no tomorrow.
Right.
That's a different level of stress. And yes, in the early rounds, there's probably not a team in the SEC tournament that's as bad as a 16 seed. That's probably true.
Yeah.
I mean, South Carolina included.
Yeah, yep. Well, South Carolina looking great right now. Still got a chance here to beat Arkansas. I was going to say Kentucky here as we're watching Cal. But yeah, they've got how many seconds?
2.3. They're going to the line. So
Arkansas up two. So, but as far as Memphis goes for this, we know Memphis is in the tournament. You know they're going to get a better seed than they've gotten since when? Like, what is this?
The last time I believe it was a Pastner team got a 7. Let me double
check.
Pastner
got a 7.
Pastner has a team that
is better than any. Like, we've always keep comparing this to Penny's teams, but like, you feel like this team is as prepared for the tournament as any team since Calipari.
So I think there was one Pastner team that kind of gets overlooked. The problem with Pastner teams is
I just never felt they were prepared. I never felt like they were ready to win multiple games in the tournament.
All right, so this would be the highest seed since the 2013 tournament, that team that was 30-5. I think that team was actually, I think if you would have used the metrics of today,
yeah,
that team would actually have been like a 3 or 4 seed.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Because that team metrically looked really strong, and they had some good wins, because that is they went 31-5.
A tougher conference for sure back then.
Significantly tougher conference, but like they had like a good win like at Tennessee. I think that team would have metrically been rewarded more so than these teams.
That's fair. All right, so we're looking.
It's definitely gonna.
There's gonna be a great the best seeded team of Penny's. Tenure. They're getting a tournament.
If I'm right.
If you're right.
If John's right, it'll be tied. John believes it's going to be an 8.
He believes it's going to be an 8. So the 8-9 matchup is not what we is not ideal. It's not ideal.
I've always believed you'd rather be the 7. Honestly, I'd rather be the 10 than the 8 or the 9.
Because
you just avoid a number 1 seed. I think there's more flawed 2 seeds than a flawed 1 seed.
Of how the bracket shakes up, the 8-9 is worse.
Yes.
Not only the fact that you're playing at what is technically supposed to be an equal team.
Correct.
Much to you, but you're also going to be matching up with a 1. But that's also exciting. You know, it's great that we've got Selection Sunday coming up. We're looking at, like, Arkansas. Like I said, I want Arkansas in the tournament just based on the fact for a potential matchup with Memphis or Kentucky Auburn or, you know, all these teams that hate John Calipari. I want to see those matchups in the tournament, right?
Is there any team that doesn't hate John Calipari?
There's certainly
I mean, other side besides Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, Patino's going to be in the tournament this year, right? So
I mean, Patino.
Patino and Cal matchup. Yeah.
Listen, I think his team's flawed, but his team has played a bunch of games this year, and I think only lost 3 of them.
I mean, yeah, you would say they have flaws, but I mean, they're in this era of college basketball this is an unbelievable story. It's going to be a fun March Madness. I'm glad the Tigers are a part of it. It's so much more fun when you fill out the bracket, knowing that, you know, you can, you know, take the Tigers as far as you want to take them. The better to be in the bracket than not. But I feel like Tiger fans are going to feel like we got screwed, so I'm going to buy it.
Okay.
Because I just feel like that's how it usually is, right? So that's the safe bet. That's going to feel like...
I mean, there is also a legitimate... There's the, you know, I'm a big believer in expectations. And if you set yourself up and believe, listen, we're going to be on that 8-9 line, even if you really get screwed, if you set yourself up and you get to the 8-9 line, I think there's a lot of people if they announce on Sunday the Tigers are a 10 seed, I think there's going to be people that actually give a fist pump. It's going to depend on the matchup, obviously. But if you're, you know, if you're on that 10 seed line and then you see like a...
we got a final score, Arkansas.
Arkansas does prevail. They win by four. So South Carolina covers. There was a nice sweet little middle. But like if you're somebody that sees... give me a mid-majors that could be like a seven.
We got Arkansas Ole Miss coming up next in the SEC tournament.
Like if I saw Louisville as my seven seed and I'm Memphis, I'm not all that upset. A, there's a historical rivalry.
Oh, that would be awesome.
But also, like, I really believe I'd rather be in that 7-10. I'd rather be in that 7-10 game.
For Memphis, and we mentioned for John Calipari, there's a lot of storylines. But for Memphis, I feel like there's quite a few storyline games that could be positioned for the Tigers in this bracket. And we've been talking seed. To me, that's obviously an important part of it. But, you know, at the end of the day, sometimes your seed doesn't matter as much as where's the game being played. Is it closer for you versus playing a team that's going to travel? But also the storyline. Like, is there going to be a storyline matchup either in the first round or if you advance, can you be up against a team or a coach where you got some type of history?
To your point, let's say Memphis plays in the AAC championship game. Forget about the result.
Right, yeah.
I'm really hoping when I see the bracket, I'm hoping I see Friday, because I'll be literally one of the two last teams
to play.
Correct. So either I've won, and I will be the only team, I will be the last team to play, or I've lost, and that team gets in as well. So the only way the league's getting two bids, like if you're the conference, I think they're straight up rooting for somebody to beat Memphis, because Memphis is in.
100%, yeah.
This is your only chance to get two teams.
And we've only seen two teams beat Memphis.
Correct.
And one of them was in overtime. Wichita State, like I'm seeing the stories of Wichita State, like they gotta, they believe they could do something because they, you know, their path would be beating Memphis again, which I just don't see happening. Neutral site, you know, we can go to overtime with Memphis again, Wichita State. But
see, this is also,
but it's March, and so they believe they've done it.
I want your take on this because Tim said Murray yesterday was asking if you're a Tiger fan. And this truly is meaningless to you, other than perhaps dropping a seed line.
The tournament? Well, I mean,
would you rather have the weekend off?
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying, like, lose on Friday.
Oh, just lose and rest.
Correct.
Because I don't believe it's meaningless. Like, as much as, I mean, I know you're trying to convince me.
I was speaking on behalf of the fan base, which I don't know if that's fair, but I said my suspicion and my read on the situation, and I obviously understand, not 100% of the fan base is going to view it the same way.
It's so frustrating, right? We talk all about, so that we've done 2 months of playing these teams, right? And you spread it out. And then here comes this week. It's like, all right, remember how just miserable and the anxiety that you felt over the past 2 months? Well, let's just do it. We're going to binge it. Let's binge it this weekend. We're going to do a binge of it. And
right in a row.
Right. Let's just do the misery here. It's like, that's not what binging is about, but that's what we got to do. You got to go through it one more time. Yes, you've got the safety net, but I do feel like because the Tigers are such a unique situation is that they play games where, as we've said so many times on this station, they could get punished. They just get punished. You never get rewarded for what you do, and you can just get punished. And I feel like they could get punished here with an exit that's early in the start, but maybe not, like you said, because if you lose, it's only one game. You're not losing, you know, the collection. You're either losing, get out.
Yep.
Get out early. If you're going to lose, you do want to just lose, but then you're losing. It doesn't matter if you lose to who the Tigers going to be matched up with here.
So they'll play the winner of South Florida, Wichita State, I believe.
And so they get a chance to beat Wichita State to prove that one loss.
Avenge another one of their. They've already avenged their Temple loss. They get a chance to avenge their other conference loss.
So that would be great. And then
let me make sure I'm not being an absolute idiot.
I think that sounds right to me, because as I said, I was looking at it earlier from the Wichita State perspective, because everybody's got their own perspectives and their own, you know, and right now.
I hate how Google, if you type in AAC, it always corrects it to ACC. It's like, no.
No.
So yes, yeah, they would play the
winner. Terrible
they,
conference.
They play the winner of. So I guess technically, who won? Charlotte or Rice? That game was earlier.
That was today, right?
That was earlier today. I assume that game's gone.
I didn't
final.
Even know that was happening until I was listening to the Jeff Calkins show this morning.
Honestly, I knew it was happening today. I didn't know it was happening earlier. Right, so Charlotte won 64-61. So Charlotte will play Wichita State. Wichita State. No, I beg your pardon. Charlotte plays Florida Atlantic. Okay. So it's going to be the winner of South Florida, Wichita State, Friday at noon, our time. So by the time we come to air on Friday on this show, we'll know probably who the Tigers, or we'll know the result of the Tiger game. But I said, I think the large portion of the fan base feels, while we're here, go ahead and win it. I would say the minimum people would say is just get to Sunday. And if you're Sunday, it's a trophy day. You might as well, while you're here, might as well win it. But I think
well, you should, right?
I think there's a fear if they lose before that they will be punished.
Well, I guess here's the question. Well, not just the seed punishing, because the punishment's not going to go below 10, are we?
Or, I don't think the punishment, whatever the seed is, if I'm right, yeah. I think it goes from a 6 to a 7. If John's right, maybe it goes from an 8 to a 9.
So we, because it's such this window of like, we could land at a 10. I think the Tigers could be a 10 if they lose or don't lose, because they're going to, the big punishment for the Tigers is being in the conference that they are in.
Correct.
And they're still going to be in that conference, whether they win this tournament or not. They still going to, all their wins that they've just done over the past month and a half plus, all really meaningless, no matter what happens, if you win or lose in the start. So like, they're still going to be, the punishment for the Tigers is that you're in this conference. And I don't know if the tournament matters as much to that. So the question, I guess, because it's like, do you rest matters? Sure, yeah, rest matters, but also does momentum matter? Now, you know, it's a stupid cliche if you watch like WWE or something. It's like somebody wins a match and it's like, oh, they got some, you know, the momentum, yeah, or whatever. But like, does it matter now, especially with this Penny Hardaway team? Like, it meant so much to win the conference, right?
Yes,
and to win this tournament and keep excelling and playing well together, does that matter more than rest, Jeffrey? Which, I mean,
I'm a big,
you could spin it either way, no matter which one happens, but
I'm a big believer in rest.
You're a big believer in rest.
Like
right now, this era of college basketball.
Like, I think another problem the league has is I wish this tournament were earlier. Like, I wish they do like what the WCC does.
When did they play?
They finished last night.
Yeah, why not do that? Also, I mean, like, you get more eyeballs on it.
Well, I mean, this is the other thing. I think the AAC should rig the tournament more in favor. Now that it's essentially a one bid league for the most part. Last year's a one bid league. If Memphis wins the tournament, it's going to be another one bid league. I don't want my best teams. Like, we've talked about it.
Right, Memphis. There's a lot of conversation.
If Memphis loses on Friday or Saturday, it's a 40-minute game. Things can happen. It's not going to be a good thing in terms of the seeding. Like, at best, it will be, the best you can hope for is no change. But it's not like there's a reward. And even if Memphis gets to Sunday and wins the whole thing,
right,
it's not like that bumps them up.
It also puts Memphis in a position where they, or you said rest, right? Your best team is going to be having to possibly play on Thursday, right?
Last thing I want to see is the nightmare scenario to me is Memphis plays on Sunday, whatever the result is, and then turns around. Oftentimes what we see the first game of the tournament, the 11 mm-hmm. o'clock CBS standalone game, which is nice to right. be the only game on TV, but that's oftentimes an 8-9 game. If I'm wrong and they are on that 8-9 line and they turn right around and play that first game Thursday, I'm not hooting and hollering. Because most likely, whoever they've played is going to have way more, significantly more rest.
And that's you hope. And I don't know what the university is, what conversations they're having. But like, you know, the recent conversation of there needs to be pressure on the other teams in the conference to have better schedules and play better teams and to up the Tigers. Really, it's just for the Tigers' benefit, right? And it's the same here, where I feel like, and you're right. Like, the conference, Memphis is in that position. We talk about the Pac-12 and the conference realignment. It's like, what is Memphis getting out of staying? And this is a small thing that could definitely help Memphis, but also help the conference. Like, what else are people watching earlier in the week? I do think, like, your TV situation is different. Why does it have to be played at the exact same time?
They actually thought, well, this was their path to playing on. They thought, like, they wanted to have the prime spot towards the end to, like, make the statement.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that hasn't really mattered. Like, I'd move this thing much earlier. All right, we are late to a break, so let's take a quick break. We'll save the Tony Allen story. I have gotten what I believe to the official account of the O.J. Mayo plane flight story, so we'll talk about that during the list. We come back, we get into our TV timeout. I want to ask Kevin, we had another all-time Shaq moment, Shaq, Charles, not knowing who indeed plays where, name of players, had that. Is it bad for the...
Grizzly connection.
Yeah, right? Is it bad for the league? So let's talk about that. Also, Grizzlies tonight. It's going to be another game on WMC. Has that had any impact? Let's talk about all that when we come back. Right here on Jeff Wright and Company. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
March is here, and that means Zen Sports has launched a new VIP Players Club sweepstakes. This time, it's the Big Bucket Club sweepstakes. One grand prize winner earns a $10,000 bonus bet on the NCAA championship game or $5,000 cash. 20 small prize winners will earn a $100 bonus bet on the championship game or $50 cash. You can earn entries on every bet you place in March and every dollar bet in March, and you can also earn 10 times the entries on parlay wagers. Plus, if you sign up and make your first bet with code JEFFTN, J-E-F-F-T-N, you'll earn 500 bonus entries into the Big Bucket Sweepstakes. College baseball has also been added to Zen Sports for wagering. Also, they're offering multi-sport parlay profit boost, and you'll get a 15% boost on up to 10 qualifying parlay wagers. See full terms on the Zen Sports app. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and located in Tennessee. All right, Kevin, couple of things for our TV timeout. I believe tonight is the first of the five broadcasts that will be simulcasted throughout the state, but for us locally here on WMC, this will be the first Grizzlies game that will be tonight on WMC. I'm unclear.
In a while. I mean,
I'm unclear. If you just, like, say you're not a cord cutter, but if you, like, if I flip over on DirecTV tonight just to Channel 5, is it on there, or is, because I keep seeing 5.1, and so what I don't know is...
5.1's the regular 5, right?
That's what I thought. I thought that's the over-the-air HD version of WMC.
Right. We're going to find out tonight. I'm going to do my research. I'm going to try to watch it over the air. I'm excited. As a cord cutter, you should be able to watch. I'm guessing it's on all Channel 5s. The question is, what is the usual NBC schedule, Jeffrey, that we're going to be missing out on tonight? I'm going to go to NBC.com.
I don't know. Like Wednesday's the Chicago night, right? It's Chicago Fire, Chicago.
Yes. One Chicago, Wednesdays at 7, Med, Fire, PD.
Oh, okay. I thought the first show was One Chicago. I was like, I have no idea
that is.
That's
what they're marketing it as, One Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago Med, Chicago Fire, and Chicago PD return to the front lines of saving
not
lives.
Not for us, we think.
Yeah, so not tonight.
We suspect.
One Memphis tonight.
I see what you did there. Nicely done. That wasn't even scripted out.
Nope.
I am curious to see, is this a trial run? Because I think if the Grizzlies had their preference, I don't know if they'd ever say this publicly, but I believe this to be true. Yeah. If the Grizzlies had this their preference, FanDuel Sports, Diamond Sports, whatever they've renamed it, they did the classic out of bankruptcy.
Fox Sports to me.
Well, they changed their name.
Yeah.
No, the company that owns it all. So it's a subsidiary of Sinclair.
Correct, yeah.
So it used to be Diamond Sports, which was all the RSNs. Then it goes into bankruptcy, and they came back and announced a new name. It's like the corporate PR 101. You got a whistleblower, you're going to come out. Like when Facebook changes their name to Meta, you immediately change your name. So they've changed their name since branding as FanDuel Sports. But if the Grizzlies have their way, FanDuel Sports will continue. They'll work out a deal with FanDuel Sports and keep it there. The problem is whether or not that's possible. Will FanDuel actually make it out? I know a lot of people are not optimistic.
But now, so the going over the air is
so this is what old is, Utah has
what
done.
What is old is new is again. And is Utah all their games are over the air?
Yes, all their games are over the air. Now, I should also point out Utah's owner. I think it's Ryan Smith. He's kind of actually is a fans first owner, and also MSNBC, I believe it was, no, I'm sorry, CNBC made the report that they've lost over half of their revenue. And so, you know, Robert Pair is a billionaire. I think he's probably higher up on the owner's wealth list than Ryan Smith, if I indeed have his name right. But is he going to really want to stomach that? I don't know. And so there is no question, if the primary concern is what gets our games in front of the most people, this is the answer. Because I've seen lots of people say, good, I can finally watch the Grizzlies for once. Because everybody collectively doesn't. First, I don't know. George, have you...
Hand up, I'm one of those people.
Well, like, I'm curious. Well, also, you work... You're going to most of the games, so...
Yeah.
You paying for access to the Grizzlies, not necessarily... You're going to work most of them.
That's true.
So, the other question, though, that I've had is, has the FanDuel Sports app... Because my understanding is, it's the same app as the Bally Sports app, which everyone has collectively hated, but it's just got new graphics on it. Has everyone had the same problems that they've been having with that app?
That's a great question. I feel like, I mean, I'm sure that they've improved it too, right? You get the complaints, and so they probably
this company's coming out of bankruptcy. I'm not imagining they're reinvesting in the business. I think what they're trying to do right now is they are trying to set, like, for instance, if you watch the games now, if you notice the superimposed graphics, like the
Making some money off right, on the court.
And I would imagine they are doing whatever they can to get revenue up to get through this year so they can continue.
When we talk about it quite often during this segment, the TV timeout, of how, you know, sports, it's spread out everywhere, right? You got to have this streaming service. You can't flip between the stuff, and you got to find out, is the game here or there? And I think it hurts at the end of the day. It hurts this, the local connection to your team, right? It's very hard. Like, you already got to have ESPN to watch these national, and you have a TNT on your HBO Max or whatever, but, like, it's already so complicated to watch just basic sports, but your own personal team is harder than ever before. But it is easier if you pay, but then it gets, you know, you have to pay just for your one team. It's very unique in having to pay to have this app, right, to watch your team. So,
well, and as we've talked about, like, it's
going back in this direction.
It's another app to have, and it seems like people have collectively decided right now, I'd rather cut apps than add a new app. Like, that seems to me to be the approach. I do also know that the games have been added to Amazon Prime. I've not seen whether or not that has led... You still have to buy an additional subscription. I don't think the cost is any different. I think it's... if you want the FanDuel app, I think it's $19.99. I think it's $20.
$20 or
I think it's
$25
the same.
Or something.
My understanding
like that
is it's the same. Yeah. It's the same price.
That would not shock me. Again, like you said, having the ability to go to a lot of the games, you know, very luckily, but working them, I haven't even really tried. Plus, I am an absolute fiend for one Eric Hasseltine.
Mm-hmm.
I just love listening to the games.
Yes, of course. I mean, we have the best in the biz, so that definitely makes... I mean, nobody... you can. It's like you're really there when you hear it with Eric. Also, I just assume that you're in the age bracket that knows how to work their way around NBA Reddit.
Oh, that's... yeah.
I would imagine if... like, I'm not airing you out here, but I just... I could be wrong, but my presumption is based on your age. You know how to get some viruses on your computer.
The only one that I actively pay for that uses FanDuel is MLB TV. That's the only one.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad... the MLB TV is not a bad deal, but then there's the questions of, like, Major League Baseball wants to collect all the rights of the FanDuel company, the FanDuel...
Yes.
And they want to package it as another... it's something they want to sell.
Yeah. I can get it just straight from them. Right. I have no... it's one app, no other issues. And if I really want to, I can also listen to the radio calls of every team.
Yeah.
So it's a good package. But yeah, for FanDuel TV, I would love to see it back on local television, because I don't only think it would also not just drive local viewership, which is always very important for, you know, a city's connection to the team. But I think in a sense, you know, if they're getting a good product on TV, it'll drive more people to the arena.
I mean, the other question is, right, like, yeah, I mean, obviously, WMC is cool with this 4 or 5 games. But to Kevin's point, I mean, I don't know anyone that watches Chicago, but you go and you look at the ratings and there's like
a lot.
Like, they're always like, you're like, what?
Yeah.
7 million people watch that? Who?
Right, because you can't, with the 82-game season, have and preempt all of these, can you? I mean, it's been so long. TV is different now. And
well,
it used to, like,
there's a real question. Would WMC make more, like, I don't know. Do they make more money?
I mean, they used to simulcast
the Grizzlies? My guess is they're not really making any money.
Right. Well, sometimes when the weather gets interrupted, right, and I'll be, you know, I'm a big reality TV person. It's like, oh, tonight's Big Brother will re-air at 3 a.m.
Listen, there's one thing I know for certain. Whether it's next weekend or the following weekend, there is going to be an NCAA tournament game on CBS that you want to watch that is going to be interrupted by coverage. Now, mm-hmm, I give them credit. Chelsea Chandler got on me, too. I screamed and moaned about this. I don't even need... it's like, I don't need you. Like, I'm not saying we don't need your information, but have the game in the screen. You can talk to us. And I've noticed that they have started at least doing the small screen.
You think it is easier? Yeah, you would think you could have the basketball show with the big screen and the weather person at the bottom talking and turn the sound of the game off.
Correct.
You could do that. But I mean, I'm just saying, like, as far as, can you do an 82-game season and... show every game on Channel 5, you'd be preempting stuff all the time. Would they be rebroadcasting them, you know, after Seth Meyers goes off or something?
So the old, or, like back in the day when you and I, if we wanted to watch the WB,
right,
we had to wait till after, we had UPN's national programming, then we had the, the UPN 30 news, and then they'd air Dawson's Creek, Smallville, everything. I mean,
that
post.
What an era. Time, yeah, what a time to be alive. And then you're talking about telling your kids on how that worked.
But yes.
To have UPN and WB.
Correct.
And you had to wait for the WB primetime shows at night. It was a great time to be, you know, especially of the age that we were. So
yes,
we would be staying up, and you had great original content airing after hours. But, I mean, this, you've seen a lot of, like, preemption stuff. Like, at some point, like, I believe this, we preempted Nightline or something to show Mama's Family, you know, reruns or something. So, like, there's been, like, it's possible, like, if Utah's, I mean, if other cities are doing it, it really does interfere on, because most every show you can watch at any time now. So, like, Chicago Fire, for instance, or you can watch it at any time.
Does it go live to Peacock?
I'm sure it goes to Peacock. It goes to NBC.com, I'm sure.
Or does it go
like
to,
it doesn't.
Well, see, my suspicion was,
if you want to watch tonight's Chicago Fire,
I
don't know what you're...
My suspicion was that it goes to Hulu. Because I feel like Peacock...
Oh, you're right. Well,
I feel like the only thing you can watch... Like, for instance, if you don't have HBO, but you're a Max subscriber, if you want to watch Righteous Gemstones on Sunday night at 9 p.m., at 9 p.m., it goes live on Max. In my experience, though, that's the only one of the...
I feel
brand
like it's next
specific.
Day Peacock. Like I,
like Peacock, I know. Like if you,
you know, Saturday
watch...
Night Live is Sunday night recorded for me when I watch it because it's next day on Peacock.
Yeah,
but either way, you could find like.
When we talk about
the old days, right? The old days where your show gets preempted because of weather. They would show it or a president's speech or something that like they will show it at 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. But now like. It's available streaming somewhere too, so like it's available on demand as well. You don't have to set the VCR to record overnight when your show gets preempted because every show is available somewhere, right?
I mean, I always say where there's a will, there's a way. Like I presume my big deal though is,
but that's the big thing. Like how would NBC as a company feel about losing a lot of its prime time or real estate to basketball games? I feel like it would be great for the local station in general because,
well, then what about,
because everybody wants live sports right now. That's the one thing that you can't just go find anywhere. You don't want to, you're not just going to go find the Grizzlies game. You have to watch it when it's happening.
Well, here's another complicating factor that just popped in my mind. I don't know. Like, usually when you see the game simulcasted, they're usually not on CBS, the CBS affiliate, the NBC affiliate, the Fox affiliate. They will either be like on the CW affiliate or whatever, like whatever PAX now is now. Like, I think it's MeTV, whatever. It's like,
oh,
50.
Yeah, that's what. So the Grizzlies used to be on that.
Correct. They were on PAX once upon
PAX
a time.
50, yeah.
Because how will NBC feel if, like, presumably when they have paid for the NBA contract, if their affiliates are showing whatever the local game is rather than the game that they paid $2 billion for.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Cause NBC is getting, cause they're getting the contract, right? They're bringing back John Tesh and you gotta, you know, yeah, that's a good point. But what about I'd be like, all right, let's do the weekend games or something. Let's figure out can we do Friday and Sunday games or where like primetime doesn't matter as much on TV, or do you find out, or is it we do Monday, Friday? So what? Figure out whatever day of the week makes the most sense, and those games are always on Channel 5, and then some of the other ones have to be on something else.
The last thing on this that I'd like to know, if you could get the Grizzlies on Truth Serum, if they would prefer, if you look at it this way, I think from a business perspective, they would probably prefer Diamond to work it out because then they don't have to launch their own network. But what I would be curious to know is if they could have both, which I don't know if it's possible because why would Diamond say we're going to give up the inventory, like we're giving up the revenue, like we're just simulcasting our games in the most target-centric market were giving up subscriptions. I don't know if you could work out some deal. Well, maybe that could increase ad revenue. But I would also wonder if the Grizzlies would view it a lot like baseball teams view their radio broadcast, which is we don't actually care if we make that much money off the broadcast rights.
Right.
But what we view it as is an advertisement. And that's to get people to the game. And so I'd like to know, would they rather have, because they do a nice job of complaining about A, the attendance in the building, and then B, are the price that they get for their local TV deal compared to others. Well, it's like, all right, would you rather get, I'd like to know if they could have higher revenue from the TV deal or if they could have more people in the building. Obviously, they'd rather have both, but like, what, like, if you view that as the opportunity to, this inspires people of like, okay, we want to go now. Like,
let's get the road games on TV. Let's get like, and we talk about like interrupting prime time, but so many of the Grizzlies games, as long as they're in the Western Conference, aren't tipping.
Now you're thinking like the commish. You're thinking like an NFL owner.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.